Yes, I know. భవాని హఠురాటరేణం నరదేవదేవ యవానన శ్యామ ఊర్ధోర్జ పార్కాపతి స్వం కీల లోకపాల Shamahe, we will perish. Ujjita, being bereft of urja, food grains, svarta, occupational engagement. Pati, bestower, vam, you, kila, indeed, lokapala, protector of the citizens. Translation, dear King, just as a tree with a fire burning in the hollow of a trunk gradually dries up, we are drying up due to the fire of hunger in our stomachs. You are the protector of surrender souls, and you have been appointed to give employment to us. Therefore, we have all come to you for protection. You are not only a king, but incarnation of God as well. Indeed, you are the king of all kings. You can give us all kinds of occupational engagements, for you are the master of our livelihood. Therefore, O King of all kings, please arrange to satisfy our hunger by the proper distribution of food grains. Please take care of us, lest we soon die for want of food. For a part, it is the duty of the king to see that everyone in the social orders, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, is fully employed in the state. Just as it is the duty of the Brahmanas to elect a proper king, it is the duty of the king to see that all the Varnas, the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, are fully engaged in their respective occupational duties. It is here indicated that although the people were allowed to perform their duties, they were still unemployed. Although they were not lazy, they still could not produce sufficient food to satisfy the hunger. When the people were perplexed in this way, they should approach the head of government, and the president or king should take immediate action to mitigate the distress of the people. After hearing this lamentation, seeing the pitiable condition of the citizens, King Prithu contemplated this matter for a long time to see if he could find out the underlying causes. Having arrived at a conclusion, the king took up his bow and arrow and aimed them at the earth, exactly like Lord Shiva, who destroyed the whole world out of anger. Before King Prithu found out the cause for the scarcity of food grains, he could understand that it was not the people's faith or their fault, for they were not lazy and executed their duties. Rather, theirs was not producing sufficient food grains. This indicates that the earth can produce sufficient if everything is properly arranged, but sometimes the earth can refuse to produce food grains for various reasons. The theory that there is a scarcity of food grains due to an increase in population is not a very sound theory. There are other causes that enable the earth to just refuse or to stop producing. King Prithu found out the proper causes and took the necessary steps immediately. When the earth saw that King Prithu was taking his bow and arrow to kill her, she became very much afraid and began to tremble. She then began to flee, exactly like a deer which runs very swiftly when followed by a hunter. Being afraid of King Prithu, she took the shape of a cow and began to run. Therefore, just as a mother produces various children, both male and female, the womb of Mother Earth produces all kinds of living entities in various shapes. Thus, it is possible for Mother Earth to take on innumerable shapes. At this time, in order to avoid the wrath of King Prithu, she took the shape of a cow. Since a cow is never to be killed, Mother Earth thought it wise to take the shape of a cow in order to avoid King Prithu's arrows. King Prithu, however, could understand this fact, and therefore he did not stop chasing the cow-shaped earth. Seeing this, Maharaj Prithu became very angry, and his eyes became as red as the early morning sun. Placing an arrow on his bow, he chased the cow-shaped earth wherever she would run. The cow-shaped earth ran here and there in outer space between the heavenly planets and the earth, and wherever she ran, the king chased her with his bow and arrows. Just as a man could not escape the cruel hands of death, the cow-shaped earth could not escape the hands of the son of Vena. At length, the earth, fearful, her heart and grief, turned back in helplessness. Addressing the great opulent King Prithu as a knower of religious principles and shelter of the surrendered, she said, "Please save me. You are the protector of all living entities. Now you are situated as the king of this planet." Therefore, the cow-shaped earth addressed King Prithu as Dharmagya, which refers to one who knows the principles of religion. The principle of religion dictates that a woman, a cow, a child, a Brahmin, an old man must be given all protection by the king or anyone else. Consequently, Mother Earth took the shape of a cow. She was also a woman. Thus, she appealed to the king as one who knows the principles of religion. Religious principles also dictate that one should not be killed if he surrenders. He reminded King Prithu that not only was he an incarnation of God, but he was situated as the king of the earth as well. Therefore, his duty was to excuse her. Cowshaker continued to appeal to the king. I am very poor and have not committed any sinful activities. I do not know why you want to kill me. Since you are supposed to be the knower of all religious principles, why are you so envious of me, and why are you so anxious to kill a woman? Kurvardhara appealed to the king in two ways. The king who knows religious principles cannot kill anyone who has not committed sinful activities. Apart from this, woman is not to be killed, even if she does commit some sinful activity. Since the earth was innocent and was also a woman, the king should not kill her. Even if a woman does commit some sinful activity, no one should place his hand upon her. And what to speak of you, dear king, who are so merciful? You are a protector, and you are affectionate to the poor. The cowshaker continued, my dear king, I am just like a strong boat, and all the paraphernalia of the world is standing upon me. If you break me to pieces, how can you protect yourself and your subjects from drowning? For part beneath the entire planetary system is the garbha water. Lord Vishnu lies in the garbha water, and from his abdomen a lotus stem grows, and all the plants within the universe are floating in the air, being supported by this lotus stem. If a planet is destroyed, it must fall into the water of garbha. The earth therefore warned King Prithu that he could gain nothing by destroying her. Indeed, how would he protect himself and his citizens from drowning in the garbha water? In other words, outer space may be compared to an ocean of air, and each and every planet is floating on it, just as a boat or island floats on the ocean. Sometimes planets are called lipa or islands, and sometimes they're called boats. Thus, the cause and manifestation is partially explained in this reference by the cow-shaped earth. King Prithu replied to the earthly planet, my dear earth, you have disobeyed my orders and rulings. In the form of a demigod, you accepted your share of the yogis we performed. But in return, you have not produced sufficient food grains. For this reason, I must kill you. Purport, the cow-shaped earth planet submitted that she not only was a woman, but was innocent and sinless as well. Thus, she argued that she should not be killed. Besides, she pointed out that, being perfectly religious minded, the king could not violate the religious principles that forbade killing a woman. In reply, Maharaj Prithu informed her that, first of all, she had disobeyed his orders. This was her first sinful activity. Secondly, he accused her of taking her share of yogyas, but not producing sufficient food grains in return. Although you are eating green grass every day, you are not filling your milk bags so we can utilize your milk. Since you are willfully committing offenses, it cannot be said that you are not punishable due to your assuming the form of a cow. Her part of cow eats green grasses in the pasture and fills her milk bag with sufficient milk so that cow herdsmen can milk her. Yagyas are performed to produce sufficient clouds that will pour water over the earth. The word paya can provoke the milk and the water. As one of the demigods, the earthly planet was taking her share of the yagyas, that is, she was eating green grass, but in return she was not producing sufficient food grains. That is, she was not filling her milk bag. Prithu Maharaj was therefore justified in threatening to punish her for her offense. You have so lost your intelligence that despite my orders, you do not deliver the seeds of herbs and grains formerly created by Brahma and now hidden within yourself. Therefore, while creating all the planets in the universe, Lord Brahma also created the seeds of various grains, herbs, plants, and trees. When sufficient water falls from the clouds, the seeds fructify and produce fruits, grains, vegetables, etc. By his example, Prithu Maharaj indicates that whenever there is a scarcity in food production, the head of government should take steps to see why production is being held up and what should be done to rectify the situation. Now, with the help of my arrows, I shall cut you to pieces and with your flesh satisfy the hunger-stricken citizens who are now crying for want of grains. Thus, I shall satisfy the crying citizens of my kingdom. For a part, here we find some indications of how government can arrange for the eating of cow flesh. It is here indicated that in rare circumstances, when there is no supply of grains, the government may sanction eating meat. However, when there is sufficient food, the government should not allow the eating of cow's flesh to satisfy the fastidious tongue. In other words, in rare circumstances, when people are suffering from want of grains, meat eating or flesh eating can be allowed, but not otherwise. The maintenance of slaughterhouses for the satisfaction of the tongue. and the killing of animals unnecessarily should never be sanctioned by the government. As described in the previous verse, cows and other animals should be given sufficient grass to eat. If despite the sufficient supply of grass, the cow does not supply milk, and if there is an acute shortage of food, a dried up cow may be utilized to feed the hungry masses of people. According to the law of necessity, first of all, human society must try to produce food, grains, vegetables, but if they fail in this, they can indulge in flesh eating. Otherwise not. As human society is presently structured, there is sufficient production of grains all over the world. Therefore, the opening of slaughterhouses cannot be supported. In some nations, there is so much surplus grain that sometimes extra grain is thrown in the sea. But sometimes the government forbids further production of grain. The conclusion is that the earth produces sufficient grain to feed the entire population, but the distribution of this grain is restricted due to trade regulations and desire for a profit. Consequently, in some places there is a scarcity of grain and other profuse production. If there were one government on the surface of the earth to handle the distribution of grain, there would be no question of scarcity, no necessity over slaughterhouses, and no need to present false theories about overpopulation. So here we see that the question of Vidura is beginning to get answered. Why did Earth take the shape of a cow, and why did Pritha Maharaj punish her? So as we see, the reason was the Earth was not supplying sufficient food grains, and the people were starving. So therefore, it's the responsibility of the king to do something. So ultimately, people depend on food, and the supply of food depends on the earth. Of course, we also have the necessity of rain and whatever, good weather, etc. So here, the earth is singled out as the cause of the problem. And this is what Pritha Maharaj concluded. Why are the people suffering? Because the earth is not producing proper grains, and the seeds, etc., are hidden in the earth. There's no proper grain seeds to plant. So somehow or other, the earth had stopped production. In spite of the fact that sacrifices were being done, in Bhagavad Gita we hear that if you do sacrifices, then the rain comes, and if the rain comes, then crops grow, and then we get food. But here we see that food was not being produced in spite of the fact that sacrifices were done. And well, we can understand that maybe the rain was also getting there, so there was green grass, etc. But in spite of the fact that the rain came and the sacrifices were done, grains didn't grow. So then Pritha said, the earth is at fault. Earth has stopped producing for some reason or other. There's no fault on the part of the humans because they are giving sacrifice even to the earth. They're worshipping the earth, and the earth is accepting the sacrifices. Still, she's not giving. So now, if there is no sacrifice and the earth is not being satisfied, then we would expect, yes, the earth will not give. But that takes place when there is a dharma. When a dharma rules and there's no sacrifice, then the earth has a right to withhold the grains. Of course, at that time, the water will also stop, plus the earth will not give. But when dharma is there, Pritha was a king of dharma, and he was doing the sacrifices. Still, the earth didn't give, for some reason. So therefore, he blamed the earth. The earth is at fault. She's getting the yajna, consuming the offerings, we are doing the sacrifices, and she's not supplying. So therefore he took this step of trying to shoot Mother Earth with his arrow. And Earth took the shape of a cow. Of course, the cow is symbolic also of production of food. We see in the first canto, in the human story of Parikshit, he sees the earth in the form of a cow and dharma in the form of a bull.
And because Dharma is suffering in Kali Yuga, therefore the earth also suffers. And therefore the earth does not produce properly because the Dharma is suffering. So the relationship between Dharma and production of the earth. In this case, of course, when Vena was ruling, yes, it was natural that the earth would not produce properly. But then Prithu became the king. So he said, you must produce. Of course, we can understand that probably due to the fact that King Vena ruled, this is when everyone began starving. And then Prithu became the king. He had the responsibility of correcting the situation for starving people. Therefore he instituted sacrifices and dharma, etc. Still, it didn't seem to work. So therefore, they said, the earth is at fault, she has to start producing. Therefore, he threatened her. And of course, we can also say that this was not a real threat. He says, I'll shoot you and cut you to pieces and feed all the people with your meat. So this was a threat, but it was not something he would actually do, since he is the king. And he's also the Lord of Dharma, and he's also avatar of the Lord. So he knows the correct procedure, that one cannot, you know, punish her in this way. Anyway, he made this threat so that the earth would begin to yield properly. And we'll see later that the earth does cooperate and begin to produce things for the sustenance of the people. So from this we should understand that there is a relationship between the ruler, people, the population, and the earth, and food, and sacrifice. These things are all related together. So the sacrifice has to be done in order that we get rain and rainfalls, and then earth is satisfied that the crops grow and the people can eat. So that's the basic cycle or chakra. Sacrifice, rain, food, people eat, people get nourished, then they do more sacrifice, then there's more rain, and this way they get their food. That's the normal process. So, where does the king fit in there? So the king is the one that directs everyone to do the sacrifice, make sure they do the sacrifice. In the case of King Vena, to stop the sacrifices, kill the Brahmins, stop everything. So that cycle was interrupted. In the case of Prithu, he restored the proper order of things, so the Brahmins were protected and they would do the sacrifices. Then the cycle would go on again. So, the cow represents the earth. The earth must produce once the rain comes and the earth produces, etc. So, under normal circumstances, if the sacrifice is done properly, rain will come and the earth will produce. Everyone should be satisfied, everyone should get their share as a devata, and then population is satisfied with food. So this, of course, is a material necessity. This is a material thing, not spiritual. We do sacrifice to get food, so we can live. So that's not a spiritual aspiration, it's a material aspiration. So that's not the real reason we worship the Lord, but this is what happens in terms of sacrifice. So we have to worship the Lord, and through that we will get the supply of food properly. So this is not the highest dharma, worshiping the Lord to get food, but it is very essential that we maintain the body in order that we can practice spiritual life. So this is an accompanying or a byproduct of worship of the Lord, that this will happen. So the higher principle, of course, is that we worship the Lord not because we get the rain and we can eat, but rather we worship the Lord simply to please the Lord, that's all, out of devotion, out of love. And we respect the Lord out of love, not out of desire to get food. So that is the higher principle of bhakti. So if there's a mixed principle, then we call it mixed karma, Mr. Bhakti. people are suffering in want, so therefore they worship the Lord and they get their food. That's karma, Mr. Bhakti. If they're on a lower level, then they may worship the Lord secondarily, and maybe worship more devatas and do their sacrifices. Then it is simply karma. The Lord is also included there, supreme form, but mainly the worshipping devatas, this and that, whatever. So then it becomes simply karma yoga. So this is the system that the king institutes, karma yoga, for the population at large. But once everybody is satisfied with the food, then they can progress further and become a little detached from their material needs and take to higher processes like karma, mistra, bhakti, or jnana, or whatever like that. So the king institutes the lower process, that is karma yoga first, for population at large, so they're satisfied. And then for those who are more advanced, they have the opportunity for other methods also. So the king should supply everything for everybody, karma yoga for everyone, and then other processes. So the king has to be broad-minded and take care of everyone. So he is affectionate to the brahmanas, he protects the brahmanas, he protects the sages, he protects the devotees, so that there's opportunity for people to advance beyond karma yoga. So the karma yoga is a general process, and then also the other processes are also supported by the king. So here we find that King Prithu is trying to institute basic needs of the people. If they're starving, then he has to supply the food, etc. So this is the lower level of activity. So to do this, he's using force at this time, because they already did the sacrifices and that didn't work. And the earth is still refusing to give. So therefore he used a little force to enable the population to be satisfied. So that is the right of the king to use punishment or threat or whatever, danda, where other methods fail. So he is doing the proper thing here. And we'll see that this succeeded and the earth began to yield properly. So in this way the problem was solved. So originally the sages were worried because there was no king. Then they got the king, they put Vena as the king, then they found out that he was worse than anything, so they killed him because he stopped the sacrifices completely, the people suffered more. Then they produced Prithu from the dead body of Vena. So he instituted Dharma again, so that was part of the problem solved. Then the earth was still not giving, so therefore Prithu brought about a solution by threatening the earth, and then she began to. So this is one of his duties as the king. And we'll see that later, he also leveled the earth. He's famous for doing that. With his bow, he leveled the earth so that people could subsist on food grains and plant crops, etc. So from this story, we see that the population at large should therefore depend on vegetarian food, grains, for their sustenance. He's not saying that we level the earth so we can start cattle farms, so we can kill all the cattle and eat the cattle. He's saying we have food grains, level the earth so we can grow grains so that everyone can eat the grains or whatever, and the cows can also eat. So this was the basis of their society. And similarly, we'll see the Vaishya, what is the Vaishya community for? They are considered to be like the stomach or whatever of the torso of the Vishwarupa. So they're the persons who supply the food for the population by farming, producing food grains, and raising cows for the milk. And so this is the what the Vaishya does. So the king protects the Vaishyas. So that just as the Supreme Lord is affectionate to cows, brahmanas, Vaishnavas, So the king also has the same type of affection, especially since Prithu Maharaj is avatar of the Lord. So actually he protects the cows, and the, which means he supports the Vaishya community, and he supports the Brahminical community and the Vaishnavas. So if that is done, then we will get proper production, and everyone is satisfied, they have their food. And when they have their food, then they can practice Dharma and Bhakti properly. So in this way, the king makes proper arrangements, and Prithu Maharaj did the proper thing by chasing the cow around so that she would produce grains. To get material results, yeah.
So that is still sinful. I mean, material desires.
Well, it's not what we call sinful, and we have to eat in order to survive. Mm-hmm. So we need bare necessities, definitely. But in the process of bhakti, if we're only worshipping the Lord to get food, and this is very material. So this is a very mixed type of bhakti. And if we worship Devadas to get food, then it is just karma yoga. Yes, we do need the food, and the king must supply the population with food by making proper arrangements, and law and order, and by sacrifice. This is the duty of the king. He should make sure that, just like we have governments, and the government's responsible to keep law and order, protect the citizens, and make sure that there is enough food for everyone. It has to be there. If everyone is starving, then they begin dying, then how can they practice spiritual life? So necessities are there that everyone needs. Of course, we know that those who are practicing spiritual life need less. They don't have to eat so much, they don't have to subsist on so many things. They live very simply. So it's not very difficult to support the population if everybody is spiritual, because you need less food. There's no wastage.
And anyway, we were chanting Hare Krishna to get rain, but that is of the karma yoga, isn't it?
Well, that was just to demonstrate that the proper yajna for this age is Sankirtan, rather than the other yajnas. Yeah. But if we simply do yajnas to get rain, then of course, yes, it is. But of course, our purpose is not to simply do chanting to get rain. Our purpose is to develop bhakti.
We are not getting food.
Generally, food isn't there because of sinful activities and nothing but bad karma. So people have to correct themselves. So just as when the bull is being tortured, dharma is being tortured, then cow does not give milk. Earth does not give. That's a general symptom. In the case of Prithu, they were doing the sacrifice. Still, the cow didn't give. So therefore, he had to force her.
Why
do
we talk about personification of Mother Earth for dharma? How do we understand the planetary growth of the children when they are the objects? When they are the owners of that particular place? The personifications, when you talk about Mother Earth personification or a dharma personification, or some other personification like Vedas personification. So when the particular form, do we understand they are changing the form, or they are the owners of that particular thing?
Oh, well, there are personalities in charge of the earth and dharma, etc. Of course, they can take particular forms also if they want to, because just like Devadas can assume different forms, even Putana can assume the form of a beautiful woman, but she's actually a Rakshasi. So the Devadas can assume any form they want also, by their will. So in the case of bull and cow, then we can say that they assume those forms by their will, though that's not their actual form.
Kumar? Annaprasanna.
Thank you.